Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. World Cup. Argentina wins 2-0 as Leo Messi scores at the death, is close to say that, I guess, for his second goal, and they beat Austria 2-0 down there in Dallas. Speaking of Texas, let's go to Houston and talk to our man John McClain, who joins us now. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I am absorbed with the World Cup like many are, and I saw something mentioned last week I never thought about. If only this came from somebody in Europe. If only 20% of America cares about the World Cup, that's more than England, Spain, and France combined when you see the populations. And one of the things I noticed today, something I thought I might never see again, greatness at AT&T Stadium. A great team playing in Arlington.
Oh, you had to get that in there, didn't you? But, I mean, Joe just asked me a fair question, and obviously we're watching the Americans for obvious reasons, but, you know, Argentina, Austria, he's like, would you have paid attention to this if you, you know, I bet on Messi to score? And I'm like, probably not. But I do think that that has probably gotten people's attention with all the apps and things like that. But also, it's just such a cool event, and the fact that it's in North America, I think, is drawing people in as well.
We've had it before. I believe it was all-time record on attendance, which we should break this time. It's amazing to think about all the great stadiums and great cities that have not hosting in this World Cup, like Las Vegas, first and foremost. Can you imagine seeing the orange crush of fans from the Netherlands going down Las Vegas Boulevard, or the Norwegians rowing down Las Vegas Boulevard the way they shut down Times Square today? My wife, Carol, went. They were keeping the Dutch fans route from Rice Stadium to NRG Stadium, Houston Stadium during the World Cup, 2.5 miles. They were trying to keep it a secret. So I called a friend of mine on the committee, and he sent me the map, and she and I went over where she should probably go, and she got there, I think it's 6:30 a.m., and it was already packed with other people that knew the same thing, and it was just an unbelievable thing to watch. And it's the fans. Yes, the games are good. They're close. We have stars scoring. But you know, to me, it's the fans from around the world coming here and having a great time, and fans here joining them and having a great time. And I know this. I have retweeted everything I see with fans talking about how great Americans have been to them, compared to what they expected that they'd heard through the media. And I think the next time we have a World Cup, Nashville is going to have a great stadium. Nashville would be a great place, along with Las Vegas, Phoenix, Chicago, which should have a new stadium by then. There'll be a lot of cities. You know, they'll always go to New York and L.A. and probably Miami. But it's been a monumental event at a great time, because the NFL is not doing anything. And one of the things that is just preposterous, I've been seeing this since I was working at the Waco paper in 1973, 4, and 5, and a lot of youth started playing soccer, and all families and media started saying it would overtake our football because all these kids would grow up and become soccer players. They grew up and became football, baseball, and basketball players, and golf and tennis. Now they're saying the same thing, and that's hogwash. You know, football ain't taking over football in America.
Yeah, I agree with that. John, Jeffrey Simmons has signed a new contract with the Titans, $105.9 million, with $100 million of that guaranteed, the first defensive tackle in league history to get over $100 million at signing. I think we know what he means to the Titans, but what do you think of the contract?
I thought it was great for him. He's earned it. I like teams like the Texans. This is a thing Nick Caserio has done. Like, you'll see Will Anderson Jr. signed a three-year, $150 million contract, and that people are going, oh, my God, he's going to make $50 million this year. No, he's got two more years left on his current contract, and if you add it all up, it's less than $50 million a year. Still, it's $150 million. Teams that sign their best players sends a great message to other teams, to other players, to players from other teams. You know, one of the best things you guys got working there is the city, the area, and what a great area it is, and fast-growing, and a lot of athletes, former athletes, are living there. I'm guessing there's current athletes that live there, but more and more people are going to be moving in, and if the Titans win, and I'm not talking about a Super Bowl, but I'm just talking about get respectable again. Players are going to want to come there. Coaches are going to want to come there. Not just head coaches, but assistant coaches. So I think it sends a great message. It was a really smart thing for them to do. Mike Bagonzi obviously did it. Amy Adams Strunk signed off on it. Obviously, Robert Saleh wanted to do it. And Jeffrey Simmons ought to have an even better season.
John, when you compare this, like, you know, now we go back and play revisionist history, like, well, they should have signed A.J. Brown in 22. He wanted that money. But it feels like this is different because at the time, A.J. was good, wasn't great. But Simmons, though, John, I mean, he's elite. And I agree with what you're saying. This does send a message around the league of we're going to pay our guys, a great place to be, and here's our bell cow, Jeffrey Simmons. I agree with you. It sends just a powerful message across the league to come here and get it done. And even better if this team could win some games this year.
I agree with you, Joe. The fact that Saleh's a defensive coach and a damn good one, and he's going to make his calls this year, I'll guarantee you that defense is going to be so much better with Robert Saleh coaching it, and Simmons is the best player. And we all know it starts up front. And so people ought to be really fired up. Offense, you don't know. Ward's going into his second season. You're not sure about the running game, the wide receivers, the offensive line. But this team's going to be vastly improved. It's going to be a tough team to beat, whether they're playing on the road or at home. And Simmons ought to be leading the van. He should have that baton, and he's out in front of everybody because they've taken great care of him, and that shows other players. If I play great and I'm part of a winning culture, they're going to take care of me too.
Yeah, well done. John, today's a deadline for the supplemental draft that goes in there. If Sorsby, he's going to get drafted, but if a guy declares for the draft, does not get drafted, how does he get to a team? Is he an undrafted?
He's a free agent.
So anybody can get him?
Anybody can get him. I guarantee you, if something happened like that, and it won't. Now, if he just didn't enter it, you know, he's not an unrestricted free agent. I'll tell you, though, I'll bet you, because Sorsby is better than a lot of people thought, because they didn't pay much attention to Cincinnati and his size and the way he runs, he maneuvers. You like to say he's intelligent, and people say, well, if he's so intelligent, how's he such a moron when he came to camp? But he is intelligent, and the coaches like him. I noticed Kurt Cignetti came out and gave him a strong endorsement. So it's going to be somebody's going to get him, and I don't think it'll be a third-day pick like a lot of experts are saying. Teams have extra picks, and I think that when you have extra picks, you can afford to gamble. And I don't think, excuse the term, no pun intended,
right,
that he's that big a gamble. I think he'll say everything that's right. He'll have till July, whatever, to work out for teams, have his own combine and pro day, so to speak. And you know he'll work like crazy, and he'll be very impressive, because he'll say, I'll guarantee you, he's got PR experts. They'll tell him what to say. Yes, I gambled. I was stupid. I'll never do it again. It got to be an obsession. I've been getting help. And, you know I'm a long way from being cured, but I'm not ever going to bet again.
Yeah, I'm with you. You go back to 89 when Jimmy Johnson, remember, drafted Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft because he wasn't a Troy Aikman fan?
Yeah, and Steve Walsh won their only game that year.
That's right, yeah. And it's just funny how had it played out if Walsh had been good, and, of course, Johnson, you know, shipped him over to New Orleans, got more draft picks. But
well, he traded. It was ridiculous what New Orleans gave up
right
for Steve Walsh. Brandon Sorsby's a better prospect. Jimmy just – he wouldn't have been that high if it wasn't for Jimmy taking him and knowing him like he did. But if you took Sorsby and say you – boy, you can't keep using the word gambled – but you gambled, you took him, and he got to play in preseason, say, next year.
Right.
And then if you had somebody else that you were settled on, you get a draft choice for him.
We will have more with John McClain coming up here in just a few minutes. Do want to pass this along because it just came out. The Hockey Hall of Fame has announced their 2026 class, and it includes Pekka Rinne. So Pekka Rinne joins the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is really cool to see.
Nice.
He is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So we will talk more about that after John, but John continues next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, continuing with John McClain down in Houston. John, the Titans put their training camp schedule out today. And they're going to have three joint practices with all three of their preseason opponents. I'm used to seeing two, but interesting that they're going to practice with all three.
I like that because, number one, I remember Jeff Fisher told me one time coaches like joint practices better than preseason games because they can orchestrate it. They can talk ahead of time, look at exactly what they want to look at, like, I'll guarantee you that the teams they practice against are going to want to see their young interior players going against Jeffrey Simmons, because that's the way it used to be here with J.J. Watt when we got such a kick out of watching him go one-on-one with players from other teams. And I think that's great because when you're a new staff, you have so many new players, you have to do more evaluations. I think that's very wise on Robert Saleh's part.
When do you remember that becoming more of a normal thing of joint practices?
Yeah, I can't remember. If I was talking to Jeff Fisher about it, then that would go back to the early 2000s before I started covering the Texans. So
you didn't see it with the Oilers?
No. Back then, players beat the hell out of each other every day in practice. They did it in the off season too. They didn't need to hit anybody else. But I'm guessing, and I don't know who came up with the first one, but whoever had that idea is probably a location thing. Like if you're Dallas and you're training in L.A. and you got the Raiders by or San Diego and doesn't cost much money, I'm guessing it was a location thing for the first two who did it.
John, let me ask you about – I'm reading this about Joe Burrow now, and like he says that the vibe feels good for the Bengals here. And I still think with Joe Burrow, John, there's a little bit of the Andrew Luck in him. You know, Andrew Luck got tired of getting beaten up and just said, you know, I'm good. If Burrow has another year, John, where he doesn't make it through even half the games, could this be like I'm stepping away? Do you have a vibe that way on Joe Burrow?
Joe, I do not. And the reason is – he hadn't had to have his spleen removed, and he hadn't had the injuries that Andrew Luck had, where Andrew hurt all day, every day. It never got better, even in the off season. When he retired during preseason, is because he couldn't get better. Even with the time off he had, he never got better because he took such a beating. Burrow's been unlucky with some of his injuries, but I don't think any of them are affecting the way he throws or moves. And unlike Andrew Luck, who was like a 6'4", 245-pound tight end who ran a lot, went back to high school and Stanford and with the Colts, he took a lot of hits that he didn't have to take.
Well, it's just interesting reading because, you know, he's, I think he's only played, 24 was the one season he played more games than anything else, but just the beating he's been taking forever, and they've talked about addressing the offensive line with him. And it's funny, I think about the Bengals, I go back to the 90s, John, when didn't they have, weren't the coaches the scouts, and then they had no scouting department back then? I mean, it was just a really bad organization. I'd love to see Burrow take them to the top.
They were cheap. Mike Brown was notoriously cheap, and it wasn't until his daughter, Katie Blackburn, and her husband got involved, and she started taking more of a role, that the Bengals started spending money. They had the smallest scouting department. They had the smallest coaching staff. They had the smallest of everything, because the Browns are not wealthy. You know, what they own is the Bengals, and they could sell it, of course, and make billions, but until you sell it, you know, you still want to have money. And today they're making a whole lot more than they did. The Bengals are not noted anymore for being the cheapest franchise.
Well, I mean, you saw that the David Shula teams of the 90s. I mean, there was talent there. They just had nothing. They had nothing to take them to the next level, right?
Well, they went to the Super Bowl with in 82 and lost to the 49ers. Then they came back, and what was it when they lost to the 49ers again when Montana hit John Taylor? So they did go to two Super Bowls, which made other teams envious because the Bengals were spending so little money and still getting to go to two Super Bowls.
John McClain is with us here on the program. When is the opening, the training camp opening for the Texans?
29th.
The 29th. So what is the deal? Because the Titans have rookies come in on the 23rd, like a week before the veterans. Is that because it's a new coach, or does every team get that?
Not every team does. I think every team does. If the Texans do it, we can't interview them. We don't. It's like a pre-training camp. Forever, with the Oilers, they would have a week's rookie mini camp. Then the veterans would come in and have almost – 2 months, and that would include 6 preseason games. And so we could – I remember I was spending – once Marriott started having a program for points, I got one reason when I retired with over $3 million was those long training camps in other cities where I could get humongous numbers of points. And then they did away with the rookie camps, and then all of a sudden they started doing them again. That mainly is just like an off-season program. It's all about the medals. So when the vets come in, the rookies won't be making an ungodly amount of mistakes.
Let me ask you this, because I've had this in my mind, and I keep forgetting to ask, and I just remembered. So you talk about Nick Cesario a lot with us and, you know, what he's done for the Texans. You've covered a lot of general managers in your career. Where is he right now based on some of the guys that you've covered?
Well, let's see. He came in, took over the worst team in the league, and they were bad for 3 years, and they won the division twice, and they won a playoff game each of the last 3 years. And he's done a really good job, except with his offensive line. It's not for lack of trying. He's had a 1 and 2 2s that didn't work out. And I think based on where this team was, based on where I have seen Houston teams be bad for a long time, to only be terrible for 3 years and people act like, oh, my God, this is going on forever. I say, you don't know how to spell forever, much less know the meaning of forever. And I would give them forever what it was like. And so I think the Cesario. When I go back, Don Klosterman was a really good general manager for Oilers back in the 60s. Sid Gilman, Hall of Fame coach, came in as a GM, turned the franchise around, hired Bum Phillips. Bum became the general manager. And after he got fired, Lad Erzik. People here still don't like Lad Erzik, but he made moves that helped him go to the playoffs 7 consecutive years, drafted guys like Munchak and Matthews, signed Warren Moon, gave him the biggest contract in history. And then with the Texans, Charlie Casserly did a good job getting him off the ground. Rick Smith did a great job with first-round picks. But based on where this franchise was, I think Nick Caserio is the best Texans general manager.
Okay. That's kind of where I thought you'd go, but I was just curious on that. John, appreciate it. As always, we will talk next week.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you very much, as always.
Yes, sir. John McClain joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock. Again, the breaking news, Pekka Rinne has been announced as one of the latest inductees into the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.